priests. And those priests were the holy ones of the 12 tribes of Israel, Levites. They had to be a Levite to be a priest. Only one out of the 12 tribes could offer the sacrifices, take care of the tabernacle and the other things. And every one of us is a believer priest. We're all priests. We ought to act like it. You see why now when you get saved, you feel so dirty when you don't do something right? You feel so good when you do God right? We are priests. Priests are supposed to look different, act different, walk different. And they were the crowd, the different crowd, amen? Even in the tribe of Israel. We're the different crowd in this world, I'll tell you that. We ought to act like we're from a different country going to another country, amen? We've been redeemed. Well, turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5 with me, please. Well, after that singing, I hope my message will do something for us. Amen. Nothing like the Word. I tell you what, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And we need to realize that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. So if you give the law to people, the law, by the way, is just as much the Word of God as John 3:16. Numbers 3:16, if there is one, is just as much the Word of God as John 3:16. God gave it all. It's all equally inspired. We ought to get it all, amen? One fellow says, get all you can and can all you get. Store it up, amen? Well, you'll need it one of these days. Get it. Hide it in your heart. By the way, this was repeated in the New Testament more than one time, these verses we're going to read tonight. So if you'll really know the Old Testament, you'll know a good part of the New. I didn't say you'd know it all, but you know a good part of the New if you'll know the Old. Because they repeated and repeated and quoted all the time from the Old Testament. All right, let's stand. Just read these two verses, please. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse 4 and 5, as we read together in unison. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Let's read it again. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord with God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Boy, that's something, with all thy might. Let's read it again. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Let's pray. Father, bless the Word. Thank you for it, our Father. Bless it to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Go back to Numbers 32, please. Numbers 32, we've told you we've been kind of going through in our own devotions, and it's our own devotions. If something blesses us, we trust it might do something for you. And we ought to get the Word, learn the Word, study the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word. I thank God for illustrations. I'll say this, and I'll say it unequivocally. God blesses if people have prayed and our hearts are right. Dr. Behrens came. He gave one or two scripture verses and gave his whole testimony, and we had more souls saved that we know of on that given Sunday than any other Sunday we ever had. But I'll tell you what, and God will bless, and I love that. And I give that sermon out. We gave it to all our fathers, I believe, and we've gotten it around. We just gave my boy David one. Excellent sermon. God used it. And I'll tell you what, we better preach the Word and a lot of the Word, because the Word will clean you up and keep you clean.
That's right.
The Word, amen? So I'm saying God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And I'll tell you, it's nothing like the power of this book in our Bible reading and everything else. Now, please, in the next few moments as we read and study, please don't be using the bathroom unless you're expecting a baby, amen? And if you're a little child, boy or girl, please don't be running to the bathroom. You didn't come to church to go to the bathroom. And I'd just like you to sit still while we deal with God's holy and infallible Word. You adults, please don't do that. We've had adults get up here. They just got to, I mean, they don't care if they sit right in front. Just get up, just walk out, and they do it regularly. They don't have to do it. Now, Louie, if you have to do it, he's only got one kidney. We understand him, amen? I mean, God is sensitive. I'm telling you, I've not done it yet, but there are times I just want to say, ladies, sit down! Man, a lot. One preacher in this great church, the Dayton Baptist Temple, he said, if you don't want to quit going to the bathroom, I'm going to build a potty right in the middle of the auditorium for y'all. Build a great church. Great preacher. This word of God's important. Amen. This is how we got saved. This is how we can live the victorious life. You cannot do it without the Bible. You can't get saved without the Word. And you can't live victoriously over sin without the Word. Let's start out this next year with prayer, as we said, and in the Word of God. Be faithful to the Word. 32, verse 23. Here it says, but if ye will not do so, this is talking about Reuben and Manasseh and the half-tribe of Gad. They said, we want to stay on this side of the Jordan, and we want to set up our tents over here and have our homes over here. And Moses said, you can only do that because, and then he got real upset with them because he said, this is exactly what happened at Kadesh Barnea. God said he'd give you the land and you sent spies in and 10 came out with an evil report, 2 came out with a good report, and we've wandered for 40 years because of the unbelief of those leaders. Moses himself didn't get in. Aaron didn't get in. Neither did Miriam. Only Joshua and Caleb went in above 20 years old and the little children because of unbelief. Moses got upset with them, and they said, well, we'll go over armed before you leave our wives and our cattle and all of our homes here. We'll go over armed in front of the children of Israel, and then after we've completely annihilated all those on the western side of the Jordan, then we'll come back to the east side of Jordan to our homes. And Moses said, okay, that'll be all right. But then he said this, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Said, it's all right if you go over that way, but boy, you better keep your word. Or sin will find you out. And so it's true again. Now the 33rd chapter, very interesting place, the 33rd chapter of Numbers. Look with me, if you will. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of Egypt, the land of Egypt, with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. And Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to their goings out. And they departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the month. On the morrow after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. We need a day of new beginnings. The Passover is exactly, that's the 14th day, the first month was April. And the 14th day, from the first day of April to the 14th day, they had the lamb kept up. And check the lamb out, make sure there's no scurvy and everything. That lamb is perfect. He's a flawless lamb because Jesus is our flawless, sinless lamb.
Amen.
He who knew no sin was made sin for us. That means that as Brother Kay was talking about that little baby that Simeon had in his arms and looked down and said, now I can depart, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Jesus was just as much a Savior as a baby as he was a grown man. He never sinned. I can't understand that. He never lied. He never cheated. He never stole. He never bit his brother or sister. Never did a thing. He was obedient to his parents all the time. You say, how do you know? If he'd have sinned one time, he couldn't be my Savior. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. He knew no sin. I don't understand that. Boy, he must have been a strange child. Amen. Well, he must have acted. Jesus was perfect. I'll tell you what, you think that's something. His cousin, John the Baptist, was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And Jesus was greater than that. He was God and is God and forever shall be God. You think John the Baptist was a strange child. Jesus sure enough was, amen. He didn't know any sin at all. He couldn't have sinned. Someone said, well, Jesus could have sinned. He could not have sinned. God cannot sin. It's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to sin. And Jesus is God. It was impossible for him to sin. They said, well, he was tempted. He could have sinned, or the Jews could have received him too, and the kingdom would have come in. That's not so either, friends. He had to go to Calvary.
Amen.
No, he knew no sin, but he had to become sin. It was ordained before the foundation of the world. He paid for your sin and my sin. And it happened on the 14th day of the month, 14th day, that's when Jesus died, of April. The first month, the beginning of months, was the Passover month in Egypt. It'll be a beginning of months for you. And we all need a new good beginning, and it ought to start at the cross. Amen? That's how you get a new beginning in your new life. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Amen.
Or else we're still in darkness and we're still in our sin. This is the first month. I think the new year is an important thing. It was an important thing for the Jews. They started out with the blood. They started out with the lamb. They started out with Calvary. And praise God, we ought to start out that way. Amen. Thinking about the Lord God of heaven. Say, well, this isn't April. Don't worry about it. It's the beginning of months for us. Just be quiet. Just hang out. Amen. Amen. People have got to be so particular about everything. I'll tell you what, it's a beginning. And we take it for that in our country. We ought to make some new vows to God if God allows us to. Now, it says don't make a vow and not keep it. But I think we ought to have some holy determinations before God. Say, God, with your help, I'll do this or that. You know, it says, the Lord willing, I'll do this or that. I'll go to such and such a place and make gain and so forth. He said, you make sure you say, the Lord willing, I'll do that. The Lord willing, we ought to ask God to help us do better than we did last year. And it started in the 15th day. They started out of Egypt's bondage. Well, we need a new beginning. You say, are there any other verses like that? Yes. Glad you asked. Amen? Amen. Over in Deuteronomy, chapter number 1, the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy is very interesting. We'll go back to Numbers probably, but it says in chapter 1, verse 6. Deuteronomy, the next book, chapter 1, verse 6, and the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. He says, let's get up and let's get moving. I tell you, most of us are sitting on our laurels and want to get up and do something for God. It's good for you girls to get up and sing. You don't have to be perfect singers. We just had a perfect message from that word. Holy, worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you what, if your lives are clean, girls, you're a lot better than these professionals out here and living like a bunch of hogs and dogs and singing God's songs. Makes me sick. It's important who sings them to. Say, well, they have talent. I don't care about talent. That's all right if you use it for God, but I don't care much about it. Amen. There's some people that don't have a whole lot. Boy, they'll tell you, it'll just ring true. Amen. Their spirit will bear witness with your spirit, and it'll do something. It'll edify you, build you up. Now, we ought to sing sweetly and pretty. That was nice. Amen. I'm just saying we ought to glory in the Lord, not in our own talents. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 3. 2:3, it says, ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. Well, I'll tell you what. He says, you've dwelt in this here long enough in chapter 1, verse 6. And he says here, you have compassed this mountain long enough. Two different mountains, Mount Seir, and the other was Mount Horeb. And he said, you've compassed it long enough, and you've been dwelling here. We've been living in one place long enough, and we've been going around in circles long enough. And God says, let's get up, and let's get moving ahead and do something for God.
Amen.
We've done enough for our sorry self all last year, this preacher included. Why don't we do something for Jesus? I made up a little song. Let's do something for Jesus every day. Let's do something for Jesus, come what may. We must not delay, for he's coming back someday. Let's do something for Jesus every day.
Amen.
Most of us doing everything for our sorry self. We'll get no reward for that. Jesus was so busy, he never did a thing for himself. He's always doing something for someone else. Check the book out. He was busy about doing good, not for himself either, for others. He came not to be ministered under, but to minister. To give his life a ransom for many. I tell you, we better get back to the book. The Word of God. We need to start some new things. By the way, God wants some separation in our walk and our talk. Tells us that over in Numbers chapter 33. Back to 33 with me, please. Numbers 33. Verse 51 and 52. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. God wants all the pictures gone, all the molten images gone. By the way, they were taking over these countries. We are living in the world. We can't go knocking down images at other people's places.
Right.
Now, if we were the despot, if we just take it over and just run over and took this country over, we could go doing that. By the way, we got a little involved with that in New York and got in trouble. I said, I'll supply the axes. You go knock down all the images. But I got caught up in that thing. I'm not Hezekiah. That's the only difference. And I'm not the king. And I'm not a despot. Amen. I'm in a democracy now, and I'm not the dictator. Now, if I was like, what's his name? John Calvin, he ruled Geneva, Switzerland. He said, if you don't, you just let people know you don't believe in the deed of Jesus Christ, the blood atonement, you don't believe that Jesus is God, was God, and forever shall be God, and he burned him at the stake. He said, you won't talk much about it anymore, amen? He ran that city. He's the starter of the Presbyterian Church, John Calvin. You say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, he sure kept unbelief put down and kept it quiet, amen? If they didn't believe in Jesus or didn't believe the Bible, they kept it to themselves. There was a day that was so in America. And now they just spout their trash all over the place. No fear of God before their eyes. It's a sad day. People used to, the politicians often kept it to themselves. Not much anymore. He says he wants a total separation. Look at verse 55 and verse 56. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. God says, I'd like to bless you, but you better bless me and you better do what I say. You better get rid of their pictures and their molten images. You're going in and conquering a land. You better get rid of everything. I want all of it destroyed. You're not to make any alliances or anything with them. You're to just destroy everything. Boy, I tell you, they didn't do it perfectly. They did a fair job for a while. The Gibeonites messed them up, you remember? Came in there, said we're from a far country and had their old victuals and their old bread and all that and the old bottles and everything and made out why they were going to get massacred, slaughtered. By the way, you check it out, the Gibeonites were hewers of wood and drawers of water, and they came for mercy, and hallelujah, they got mercy. They did come deceitfully. So did Rahab. She was a harlot, amen. But boy, God brought her in. Amen. God's brought some dirty people into his church, hallelujah. Amen. He's cleansed them, though. He won't take them into heaven that way. They'll go clean into heaven, amen. But God's taken some mighty dirty people here and cleansed them by his blood. Amen. Peter was a curser and a swear. He cursed and swore there at the day that Jesus went to the cross. He said, God never saved me with a filthy mouth like mine. He saved Peter. Made him the spokesman of the 12. God took a dirty mouth fella. He could have called Paul. Paul wasn't that. Paul's mouth was clean. His actions were, he wanted to kill Christians. I mean, it's pretty rough, but I'll tell you, he knew the law. Peter didn't know much of the law, a little bit, huh? He knew a little bit. He was a Jew. He sure knew how to curse. He was a fisherman. God says, I'll just make him a fisher of men. Amen. I'll send him out fishing for men. I'll make him a feeder of the flock. Feed my sheep. Amen. God take, God takes some pretty ignoramus type preachers and make them the spokesman of the whole 12. You say there wasn't a highly educated one in the whole crowd. Paul, God still could have used Peter if there was a real genius in the crowd. Matthew could count at least. Amen. He could steal and count. Amen. Receipt of the custom. Probably Matthew was a thief. Zacchaeus was a thief. Probably Matthew was a thief. God took a motley crowd to preach his word, didn't he? Bunch of uneducated. We perceive they're unlearned and ignorant men. Man, I haven't had anybody go around telling me quite that bad lately. I mean, they called them unlearned, John and Peter, both. And they're both fishermen in the trade together, said unlearned and ignorant. Don't feel bad. They called the greatest preachers that ever walked that. So, amen. They didn't call Paul that. He was a genius. They said, he's gone crazy. He's too smart. Much learning doth make him mad. They're all crazy, the whole bunch of them. Uneducated, that's their problem. And you got too much learning. You're all messed up. If you love Jesus, they're going to think something wrong with you no matter what group you're with. Amen. Well, God takes anybody, he'll save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. And then it's the slayer here. The slayer, look what it says in chapter 35. Unbelief is dangerous. Total separation. It says here about the avenger of blood. God's concerned about blood. By the way, God's concerned about all that blood that was shed over here at Luby's. And God's concerned about people that murder people. He says if they do that, God's word says their blood's to be taken because their blood is precious and something I'd never seen before. Look at verse 33 of chapter 35. It says, so ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood it defileth the land. We're not going around murdering each other. Not talking about cow's blood, sheep's blood. They could eat the cow and eat the sheep. Amen. It's talking about man's blood. And look at God says it's precious. What? The life of the flesh is in the blood. It says, for blood it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed for the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. God says, I'll tell you how you get rid of the blood guiltiness. You kill the one who killed the one who was innocent, and then I'll be satisfied. God says, blood for blood. When you kill the man who went innocent and killed those people, he said, I'll be satisfied. Now, I was a little bit satisfied when I heard that dirty rascal over here was killed too. I'm so glad he didn't throw his arms down the last minute and come out of there with his hands up. I'm so glad someone blew him away. If he blew himself away, I didn't care. Just get him out of here. Don't want him cumbering the ground. Amen? Don't want him in jail. People talking about a devil like that. Get him on to hell quickly. Amen? We got business due for God, and God says, I don't want my land polluted. God is concerned about murder. And he provided a place for the manslayer who killed someone who did not do that premeditatedly. They could go to the cities of refuge. They had to stay there to the death of the high priest. I haven't got any notes on that yet. But Jesus is our high priest. Amen. They were not to go out of that city. They were to stay in the city of refuge till the high priest died. If they were killed outside of the city of refuge, then the one who avenged them would be, it'd be okay. They had to stay in that city of refuge the rest of their life until the high priest died. Well, we're safe in Jesus, amen? Amen. Safe in our high priest. And it says, defile therefore, not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit, wherein ye dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among you, the children of Israel. All right, we've dwelt there long enough. Now look what he says in verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 8. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give unto them and to their seed after them. He said, first of all, quit going around, quit staying in your dwelling in the mountain. Quit dwelling in the mountain. Quit going around in a circle around the mountain. And he said, go in and possess the land. Go in and take it and possess it. And then over to the same chapter, verse 32, please. Unbelief is dangerous. Verse 32, Deuteronomy 1:32. Yet in this thing ye did not believe in your God. Unbelief is dangerous. Who went in the way before you to search out the place of your tents and so forth. Verse 35, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see the good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Japheth, and in verse number 38, but Joshua, the son of Nun. Those were the only two that went in. He said, because of your unbelief. I'll tell you, the only thing that's going to keep the blessings from us next year is a lack of purity of life. And then not having faith to believe and take the land. Take the promises, whatever it might be. Some of you need victory over habits in your life. Well, if other people got victory over those habits, I believe God could do that for you. Don't you think God's able to do that? We have a pretty big God, amen? You say, well, God couldn't save me as bad as I am. Well, he saved some others as bad as you. I think he could do it. Don't you believe? God can do anything, I thought. Isn't it impossible for God to lie? But with God, nothing shall be impossible except that which his word tells us. And he only limits himself by his everything. Go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples said, well, who then can be saved? They thought David was rich, and Abraham was rich, and Isaac was rich, and David was rich, and Solomon was rich. Surely that if you're rich, it ought to be a sign you're going to heaven. Jesus said it's hard for a rich man to get into heaven. And then they said, well, who then can be saved? He said, with men it's impossible. With God all things are possible. God can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. You say, my mind is so full of trash, Jesus will wash it clean. Amen. You have to give it to him, though. Let him take it from you. Cleanse it. So I like all those things. Yeah, you get saved, you'll have a different heart attitude. Like God said, I don't want you polluted by those polluted people. They're like the people in the flood. They're going to hell anyhow. You just get in the ark and I'm going to wash this earth clean. And he said, as you go over Jordan, they're all polluted. They're idol worshipers. They're an abomination to me. He said, you just go in and just kill them all. You say, well, I don't think God would do that. God already did do that.
Right.
And by the way, he was well pleased with it. See, that just shows you how much Bible we've been reading. Our judges would get like this. If our judges would get the mind of Deuteronomy and Numbers and the Pentateuch, I'll tell you what, they'd just say, hallelujah, that guy got cooked. He won't do any meanness to anyone else. Amen?
Amen.
How we've gotten soft in this country. I'm serious. I used to listen to that thing drag it. Dum dum dum. So and so was executed in due process of law and such and such a day. Dum dum dum. Boop boop boop. And today, they're gonna put a man in the gas chamber. Good! Man alive, he should have been in there 10 years ago. If they put him in there now, I'm telling you, 100-fold, 500 more should have been put in with him by now. Go a state, in a whole state, not have one or two executed in a year. Well, maybe your God's a female. Mine's a man. Hallelujah. He's the God-man. And that Jesus is going to be the judge in that day, and he's going to have flaming fire in his eyes. Revelation tells me that. So if I get a little bit like that when I preach, some people say, man, why do you get upset, preacher? I tell you what, I believe the eyes of Jesus are going to be judging. Amen?
Amen.
His eyes is a flame of fire.
Right.
I'll tell you what, we ought to judge sin from the pulpit.
Amen.
Amen. Judge sin in our own life.
Amen.
Listen, I've got to judge sin in my life, in my home. Why shouldn't you have to do it?
That's right.
Amen.
I believe we ought to judge sin in our life. You say, I'm just floating along. A dead fish goes floating along the water. A live fish, he's going against the stream. Amen?
Right. Amen.
He's going up.
Amen.
It's not an easy road. I've got Jesus walking with me. Amen?
Amen.
Utterly destroyed him. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Paul said, I die daily. I mortify these members. We better not forget that. So I just like to enjoy life. Jesus went to Calvary. What right do you have?
Amen.
To just have a picnic all the way to heaven. All the apostles were cursed and swore at, hated and maligned and lied about and locked in jail, and you think you're going to go to heaven and not have an ill word against you? You're in the wrong business.
Amen.
Christ in you, they're going to hate you because they hate Christ and hate the Christ that lives in you. You're yielded to him, they're going to hate you more. You're filled with him, they're going to hate you more. God got angry at even Moses. In chapter 3, verse 26, it says, But the Lord was wroth with me, Moses says, for your sakes, and would not hear me. God would not even hear Moses, that great Moses. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me about the matter. Get thee up into the mount of Pisgah, and you'll see the land, but you're not going in. You did not sanctify me in front of the people. You didn't give God the glory, Moses. You took the glory yourself. He said, shall we bring water out of this rock? The rock's been smitten once. Amen. Christ's been smitten once. He smote it twice. God says, you speak to the rock. He smote it. And then he spoke to the people, and he said, you want us to bring water out of the rock? He should have said, well, God's upset with you all, but he'll do it again. I know God will do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let the water come out of the rock. And boy, she'd have gushed out. You say, when Moses hit it with the rod the second time it came out, yes, but Moses, right at that moment, that very moment, Moses and Aaron both lost their key to the promised land. The people got them upset, but they shouldn't have got upset with the people. If anything, they should have kept upset with their own sin, Moses and Aaron, and their own unworthiness. Don't let the people cause you to sin. Don't you let a bunch of rebels cause you to miss the blessing. Then you don't add to the word. You don't diminish the word, but you keep the word. Amen. That's in verse 2 of chapter 4. And our time's about gone. Hang on for 10 minutes and we'll go home. Amen. All right. It says 4, verse 2. Ye shall not add unto these words, unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. We're to keep the word of God.
Right.
The answer is do what the book says. Now, you can't do what it says if you don't find out and read it and come to preach it and hear what you're supposed to do. Verse 6, keep therefore and do them, what? The word of God. Keep and do the word. Say, I don't know the word. Get here over to church more often. You'll learn some word.
Amen.
For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. Say, well, my life's getting to be a wreck. I'm getting in all kinds of trouble and everything's going wrong with me. Well, you just ought to come to church more often. Amen, amen, amen. You haven't seen anything yet. You just keep God out of your life and keep fiddling around with God and playing with God like a little tool. And I'll tell you, you're going to get smacked by that God. I'm going to put up with your foolishness. God ain't got time for games. You can play Risk all night long, but God's in the business of real business. Playing games. He wants to bless us. You say, well, I'll just do what I please with God. I talked to a fellow, and I've mentioned this from the pulpit. I witnessed to a guy the other week. Some other fellow was out there with me. And he said, well, I call on God when I need it. This is a teenage fellow. I tell you, dusted my feet off. Yeah, it's like, I call on God when I need it. When I have problems, I call on God. I thought to myself, God's not at your back, buddy. Your little beck and your little command. God's not that. You better come to God in mercy, seeking forgiveness and mercy.
Amen.
I tell you, God, take that fellow, just burn him in hell forever with an attitude like that. If he doesn't change his attitude, God will burn him in hell for all eternity.
Right.
Talk to me about God like that. Well, when I need him, I'll come. He treated us like dirt. He'd have treated Jesus like dirt. We're ambassadors of the King of Kings. Amen. He's going to wish he never talked to us like that, either this one way or another. He'll either get saved and wish he didn't, or he'll meet God and he wished he didn't. I had a lady one time giving out tracts. I've mentioned this for our home people. Some of you others weren't here. Now I'll tell you, we have a changing congregation, a revolving exchange around this church. Amen. I had a lady, she was on Church Street. Oh, the big street. Right behind our little old shabby church in Farmville, North Carolina. I gave that lady a tract. She was raking the leaves. She should have had one of her maids or servants doing it. I mean, it was a big, huge house. She'd married into money, 100 to 1 she had. And I gave her a tract, and she just took that tract right there, crumpled it up in my face. I thought, you can do that to me, but you're going to meet God, and you're going to wish you never did that one day, lady.
Right.
I didn't say that. I just walked away. I thought, anybody that foolish, just keep my mouth and forget about talking to such fools as that.
Right.
You do that now. She won't do it when she meets God.
Right.
She'll be begging for mercy like the rich man in hell. That's what she'll be doing. Or she'll get saved on this side and see her sin. Amen. I'd rather do that. All right. But I never was like that with people before I got saved. I don't think many people are. I think there's a few rare exceptions. That is not the rule. We're all enemies of God, but I'll tell you what. She's a real enemy. Some of us, we slithered around and everything, and we were doing our meanness and our sin. But I'll tell you, to be that blatant and that brazen about it, I'll tell you, I never was. Maybe you were. There are exceptions to the rule. I believe we ought to have fear of God. All right, this great nation's mentioned 3 times. They're up to verse 9, and we're almost through. I said 10 minutes. 5's gone. I think I have 5 more left. Hang on. Verse 9. Only take heed to thyself. You know what you ought to do? First of all, don't add to the word. Don't diminish the word. Keep the word. And the key is to keep and do the word. And then it says, take heed to thyself. Verse 9. And keep thyself diligent, thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things of thine eyes, which thine eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. So, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Now, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to take heed to ourselves. And do our souls diligently, keep thy soul diligently. We're not to forget God's word. We're not to depart from God's word. We're to teach the word to our children and our grandchildren. And what are we supposed to teach them? It tells us what to teach them in verse 13. Look with me, please. This is chapter 4, verse 13. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. A lot of people say, well, the way to heaven is to keep the 10 commandments. No, it's to believe on Jesus and be saved. But I'll tell you what, you just can't keep the 10 commandments. The first one is the Lord, our God is one Lord, amen?
Right.
Bible speaks about the whole law is what? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul, strength and mind. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Right.
Shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness. Look verse 16. Lest thou corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female. Verse number 19. All about idol worship. Look at verse 20. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the furnace, even out of Egypt. Egypt's called a furnace. Now, I'll tell you what, if you're not, you don't get saved, you're going to go to a furnace of fire. That's where you're going. Have you ever thought about that? How many times it says in the Bible that hell's a furnace? Furnace of fire?
Right.
Man, that's a stinky thing. We used to have a furnace down in our basement. We used to choke that thing. We used to have coal. Big, huge furnace. It later got converted into gas. But we'd go down there, and we'd have a big old coal bin. They'd just open the little window on the side of the house, and they'd just have all that coal. Big truck would dump the coal, and it'd go right on in there, and then we'd have to shovel it. And we'd get a few shovels of coal and throw it in there in that furnace. Thus, as you'd be in that furnace of fire for all eternity, don't be saved. That's a stinking place. That's a hot place. That's a confining place. Brother Al, this last year, I noticed something about hell. You know what it says? It says, bind them hand and foot. Cast them into hell. First of all, a sinner is cast. He's a castaway. He's like refuse, trash, because he's not believed on Jesus and been saved. And you know what he said? He says, bind them. Throughout eternity, they're going to be bound because we're going to be free. Hallelujah. But the sinner is going to be bound. Bound in chains under darkness. It's the eternal prison house of the damned. I ought to thank God all every day this next year just because I'm not going. I just, every once in a while, I'll just get up and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I'm going the right road. I'm on my way. It won't be long. I'm almost 50, and I'll be on up there. Amen. I've got to live to be 80. I already asked the Lord to let me live 80 years unless he comes back, though. 30 more. I'm trying to stand this old devil in this world that long. Amen. God of this world. But every day, I ought to get up and say, thank you, Lord, I'm not going to the prison. I'm not going to the prison. I'm not going to be confined and bound. I'm free. Hallelujah. I'm in Him. Some of you are bound by your sins. If you don't get unbound by your sins, you're going to be bound forever in hell. Jesus will set you free. Won't you trust Him? Won't you trust Him? The danger of going back to those images. Wouldn't you like to be saved, have your sins forgiven? Say, preacher, I've done that before. When God does it, He'll do it right, and He'll do it forever. Yeah. Something was wrong either in your head or heart or something. Say, oh, it was the personal worker that worked with me. He didn't explain it. God's Holy Spirit will explain it. Yeah. Years and years and years and years ago, they didn't know anything about personal workers. The people got saved. They saw in a Christian's life such a change in their life that B.R. Lakin said, people came years ago to church. By the way, he was from West Virginia. Boy, he was a preaching machine, too. Never had a flip of education. He was eloquent. B.R. Lakin preached one time. Man, everybody in the whole place, all the preachers were shouting, didn't have a flip of education. Power of the Word. Boy, you got to get saved. Washed in the blood. Amen. Lost my train of thought. I'll tell you what, you better get saved.
You'll be in that furnace forever.
Better get washed in the blood. The early lady came out and said, hallelujah, it's done. You got saved that night. I believed in the Son. I have faith in the blood. Little story of a little lassie. I'll close with this, Lord. He went in this place, and he was in prison there. And he went up, B.R. Lakin went up there with this other preacher. And when they came to the place up there, they said, would you like to go with us, preacher? Yeah, he went with them. And he went up there, and a little lassie was in there. A little man was in there in his house. This was after the prison time, and he went up there. This man has been in prison. I want you to go up with me. Talk to him in a little log cabin up there in West Virginia hills. And the scripture says, and the story goes like this, that he went up there and the fellow said, are you saved? You know the Lord is your Savior. And the man said, you know, one time I was in jail. I was right in jail, and I was just full of sin. And a little Salvation Army lassie came in there, and she said, was there anybody in here who'd like to get out of their sin? And he said, I would. He said, I would. And he said, that little lassie, she prayed for me. She prayed for me. And he said, hallelujah, I got saved. Got out of jail. I'm going to heaven now. I got saved. But what B.R. Lakin said years ago, you know what he said? He said people used to see in someone's Christian walk such a walk that he said they'd come to church to get saved. Already had it in their mind to go come to get saved. Why? They saw a Christian walk and talk and somebody get changed. Changed life. Can't blame it on the personal workers. You got to blame it on your own sin. Yeah, before they ever had a Romans Road, there was a whole Bible. When I was a teenager, I was making every effort to lead people to Christ. And before I knew there was a Romans Road, I led probably 100 people to Christ. 30-some I led to Christ out of John 10. Didn't even know there was a Romans Road. I said, Lord, I got to have something. I got to have a plan to tell these soldiers and these people. I didn't use soldiers when I started either. I got these little black boys, amen, on the street. I did. I got these little black kids out there on Waukegan Avenue. And I showed them my little plan of salvation from John 10 and showed them how to be saved. And all of us got down on our knees and they got saved. My first conference with little black kids, amen. Oh, I was so happy. Woo! God used me to help them get saved. I was so happy. It wasn't long, and I had servicemen, and they got up off their knees using the same John 10. I started reading in verse 1, and when I got to verse 28, I explained it. I just preached a whole sermon of what Jesus said and explained it, and by verse 28, they were getting saved. One boy says, is there a phone here? I said, yeah, there's a phone. What do you need a phone for? He said, I got to tell my mother I just got saved. She's been praying for me. Hey. Hallelujah. Hey. I was so happy. Hey. Jesus saved him. I had 30-some saved, and I didn't know there was a Romans Road. You know what I did as a Navy boy? I came to a church like this. Big fancy church, though. It was Emmanuel Baptist Church in Waukegan. They took us there from the Servicemen Center, and I went down to the front of that big church. And they took us back in a little room there, and a man said, what'd you come for, buddy? I said, I came. I want to do more for Jesus. He said, why'd you ask God for 100 souls? I said, that's good. You know, servicemen ain't got a bit of sense to believe everything. You know, anything is thrown at them. They think that's a great idea. Young Christian? So why don't you ask God for 100 souls? I thought that'd be great. Didn't show me a plan. Didn't show me anything to use here. I'm going to try to win 100 souls and don't even know what to say. John 1, when I got to verse, John chapter 10, verse 28. Amen. Business was going on great, amen. It wasn't me. It was God's word. And my heart was in it. And I took a second and third grade little boys class. A chaplain gave me that class on the post. I didn't know anything about flannel graph. Kilkianus. I didn't know what in the world was this. I said, I've read my Bible, see? And I said, here comes Peter and John. Here's Jesus down here with the fishing net. He's coming along. And boy, and I gave him a message, and everyone in my second and third grade boys' class got saved. Why, I was so excited about it, they got excited about it. And all I knew to tell them is how to be saved. I didn't get very deep, you know. I hadn't been saved long. I even got a chaplain's son, McConnell, saved. And boy, I heard about that too. A Methodist chaplain's son. Heard about that. The first of the year started out with the cross, started out with the blood, started out with the Passover. We better start out with every day and every year and every week with the blood and with Calvary and just back to Jesus. And somehow ask God to help us forget ourselves. Aren't we all pretty good at promoting ourselves? Some people are better than others. We better promote Jesus. Everybody likes me. I'd rather have them all like Jesus. They get saved, they love me. I mean, their life. Let's have prayer. Father, thank you for your word. With messages been scattered, but thy word is truth. And thank you for helping, Lord, and blessing. I did sense thy presence, and I thank thee, Lord, that the people did listen. We're attentive, our Father. We praise thee for it. Speak to hearts, save lost sinners, and we pray you'd reclaim backslidden ones that have strayed far from thee. Help them to see how much you love them and you want the best for them. But they must resign their sin. They must be willing to forsake all, take up their cross. Let Jesus do the work. Follow Jesus. Help them, Lord, to do that. Repent and believe Him. Be saved. With their heads bowed, is there one here tonight? On this evening of Christmas 1981. Then I'm going to 92 soon. You say, I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Wouldn't that be a nice time to be saved tonight? Better hurry up. Jesus is waiting with his arms outstretched, but one day he'll be your judge. You better trust him as if you're Savior now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's the gift of God, it's not of works. It's not by joining this church, but it's by coming to Christ. I need to be saved. Anyone? Is there a pianist play something? We invite you to raise your hand for prayer. Is there one here? I need to be saved. I'm not sure, and I need to be saved. Pray for me. Preacher, if I died right now, I'd go right to hell. I don't want to do that. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I don't understand everything that you teach and preach here at the church, but I know one thing. I need to be saved. Pray for me. I need Jesus. I need to know I'm going to heaven. I need this salvation that's talked about. Pray for me. Anyone, raise your hand as we pray for you. Anyone? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's not becoming a Baptist. It's becoming a born-again Christian. Receiving Jesus. Anyone? Before we pray. Anyone? I need to be saved. Pray for me. Is there anyone here and you say, I've been saved recently and I'm thankful about it. I've trusted Jesus recently. Real. Not too long ago. I trusted him and by his grace I want to live for it with all my heart. I trusted Jesus recently. Would you raise your hand? God bless this one and this one and this one. Any others? I trusted Jesus recently, and I really want to live for him with all my heart. Pray for me. Include me in prayer. Anyone? Raise it up. And is there one hearing you say, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus is Savior, and I need my life to count for the Lord. I'm saved. I need to get things straightened out for the Lord. Pray for me. Any like that? Many hands all over the auditorium. May God help us to be the Christian ought to be. Let's have prayer. Father, thank you for your word, your truth. Speak to lost people, help them to be saved.